Okay, we're going to be in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. My brother, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Okay. The Net Bible puts it this way in verse 1. My brothers and sisters, do not show prejudice. If you possess faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 8 it says, but if you fulfill the royal law as expressed in this scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. This is our passage today. When I started with the kindergarten through second grade, I didn't cover this passage with them. I covered something else that was fundamental for them to understand, to be able to understand this passage. It is this right here, because we're going to refer back to it, the 6 days of creation. And on day 6, God made two people. Adam and Eve. Amos, as far back to your original ancestor, your original grandfather, his name is Adam. And your grandmother's name was Eve. Natalie, your original grandfather, as far back as can be traced, is named Adam. And your grandmother was named Eve. Ook, your grandfather is named Adam. And your grandmother was named Eve. And that means we're family. That means we're family. Maybe distantly removed from one another. You know, not so close that we have the same last name. But we are family if we believe what the Bible says. So, when I look at the word prejudiced, it means to have a preconceived idea or opinion that's not based on reason or actual experience. I see you, you look different than me, I make a preconceived judgment about you. Prejudiced. Now let's put it in that Christian term, the way we understand it. I see someone who is different than me, and I make a judgment about my distant family member. It changes, doesn't it? It makes the sentence a little bit different. Faith is this, a complete trust or confidence in someone. And the passage tells us who the someone is. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. So really the passage is saying, If you can look at somebody and make a judgment, a preconceived idea about them, before you even know them, do not believe you are living out the faith of Christ. Christ was met by a woman, the Syrophoenician woman. She was a Gentile. And the Jewish people were prejudiced against anyone who was not Jewish. And they called them dogs. So she comes to Christ and she says, "Can you heal my daughter?" And he says, "Why would I give the miracles that are meant for the children of God, Israel, aka Israel, to you, a dog?" Because that's what he's saying when he says, "Why would we take the food that's meant for the children's table and give it to the dogs?" And she says, "Oh, but a crumb. The dogs eat from what falls from the table. And you can call me a dog. I don't care. I'll take a crumb of mercy. I'll take a crumb of miraculous work as long as it heals my daughter." Now, he didn't say this to degrade the woman. He said this to get those that were behind him, the crowd that was with him, engaged in thinking, because they were like, "Yeah, get her, Jesus." And when she says what she says, he turns to them and says, "She has more faith than any of you. I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel." Here, let's see if we can do it some more, and let's see if we can really see if we can visualize what we're talking about here. Which one of these two people is more righteous? I got what looks like a homeless guy and what looks like a business executive. Which one of them is more righteous? If your answer is, "I don't know," you're correct. If your answer is anything else, you're already guilty of this passage. Let me say that again. If your answer isn't, "I don't know," you're already guilty of this passage. I don't know. There are two random pictures on the internet. I don't know these people. How can I know if they're righteous? The homeless guy might have just got laid off, has nothing to do, can't find work, and he's out there and praying to God, and the other guy's ripping off his company through corporate espionage. I don't know. Because he has a suit? And that's exactly what the passage is, right? Hey, if they come in wearing suits, sit down here. If they come in looking like the homeless guy, stand over there. Better yet, you might lean against the wall and get it dirty. How about you just sit on the dirty floor? It's already dirty. We're not going to really mess it up anymore. Who's more righteous? High school. Who deserves more respect? Who's worth more? You know, when y'all were having that feud last year between cheerleader and basketball players, I came really close to canceling both seasons. Because neither one of you were right with God. Neither group. We teach the cheerleaders a lot about it not being a real sport. But let me tell you something. It's not right. It creates division. It sure isn't unity of the Spirit. It isn't moral excellence. It's not God-like love. It's not even the truth. I got guys in my weightlifting class who cannot put 95 pounds above their head, but I got base cheerleaders that can when they lift another girl up in the air. Don't tell me there's not some athleticism in it. Yeah, I know. Some of y'all are really upset. Well, since you're upset, let's go on. Who's worth more? The scientist or the fine arts person? Which is worth more, academics or arts? Which one of these was right with God? The answer is both if they're doing what God called them to do. Who's wrong with God? Both if they're not doing what God called them to do. Huh. It seems to me that the violinist needed the scientist that created the violin for which they make their music. And the scientist needs the musician who composes music that allows them to relax. Almost like they're separate members in one body. Why are we divided? Who's worth more? What if I put a basketball player up here and a band person up here? I asked this in middle school. I'm going to use some terms. Please forgive me. I don't mean these terms. But I want you to understand these terms. The band people are all like, those are dumb jocks. And the athletes are like, those are just stupid band geeks. And some of you are in here now wondering, well, who am I? Because I'm both in sports and the band. I thought we were one body called BBA. I thought we were one academy. Who's worth more? Who's worth more? How about this one? Who's worth more? Now, some of y'all grew up in church. And y'all sang a song. From the time you were very, very young, that should have told you, thinking about people who look different in any preconceived negative way is wrong when you sang, Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red, yellow, black, or white. By the way, that's the slide. They're all precious in His sight. Why? Because we all come from Adam and Eve. Because we all bear the image of God. Oh, there's male and female on there. Let's go into that one. Who's worth more? Neither. We might have different roles, but we are both valuable. Girls aren't lesser than guys. And not every guy's out to oppress women. Let's ask it a different way. Who deserves to live? I got a baby. I got two older people. I got two teenagers. Who deserves to live? One of my favorite books is Lord of the Rings. In the caves of Moria, Frodo and Gandalf have a conversation about the creature Gollum. Frodo says, I wish Bilbo would have killed him when he had the chance. It's a shame Bilbo didn't kill him. Gandalf says to Frodo, who are you to determine whether someone should live or die? There are many who live who deserve to die, and many die who deserve to live. Who are you to make that decision? Can you make that decision? This is why our passage says you've become evil when you make these distinctions, because you just put yourself in the place of God, who said that all life matters. who said that our international students are not lesser than our domestic students. Who said our men are not lesser than our ladies, and our ladies are not lesser than our men. Who said the senior class is not greater than the freshman class. That the band is not greater than the basketball team, and the basketball team is not greater than the cheerleading squad, and the cheerleading squad not greater than the yearbook staff. And all of those who do stuff are not greater than those who don't do anything. But just go to class and get grades. Who deserves to live? Who deserves to die? Who's a member of my family? I don't know these people, but I tell you, they're a member of my family. Why are they a member of my family? Because Adam and Eve. Because of Adam and Eve. I'm entering the airport. There's an Arabic-looking guy entering the airport. Is he a terrorist? I don't know. After he hijacks an airplane, let's make that assessment. Until then, he's an image bearer of God that deserves dignity and respect and doesn't need to be called out of line because of the way he looks. Any more than anybody needs to be pulled over because of the way they look. And nobody in here certainly deserves to have somebody think that because they look a certain way, they're already prejudiced against you who looks a different way. You're making decisions about family members, according to the Bible. Now, I'm not condoning injustice. I'm saying that if we would go back to the way that God designed things, that this is my family, and I'm going to treat everybody in my family with dignity and respect, we wouldn't have these divisions and issues and injustices. And they are. They're evil injustices. But the Christians shouldn't be the perpetrators of evil injustice. That's what this message is about. You see, Satan gave us the spirit of fear. God gave us love and a sound mind. So why am I fearing people because somebody told me I should believe a preconceived idea, which is the definition of prejudice? Instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt, the mercy that they are an image bearer of God and they may not be what society wants me to think they are. Why do I think ill and evil of my family? From this picture, can you tell who loves Christ? Who hates Christ? Brian, listen to me. We're not going to heal our nation until we fix this. We're not going to heal our nation until we fix this. Till the Christian people unite. What's the issue? Prejudice causes you to treat people in an ungodlike manner. That's the issue. We're not being godlike. Look, can I be transparent? Yesterday I was told that I'm a racist, a bigot, a person who hates gay people, a religious elitist, a wealth elitist, and the lowest form of humanity on the earth by my sister. And I asked why. She said, because you're a white male. That was her only reason. I didn't deserve that. And nobody in this room deserves that. Nobody in this room deserves that. To have somebody look at you and make a judgment. Because God designed you to be you. It's evil. If we want wealth healing, if we want race healing, if we want gender fairness, it's not going to be through legislation. It's going to be by embracing the gospel. Seeing people the way God said we should see people. You are a descendant of Adam and Eve. You're a member of my family. You're an image bearer of God, and you are worthy of all love, dignity, and respect. Period. Until such time as you commit a crime that says otherwise. And then even then, you're still worthy of dignity, love, and respect. You just might not be worthy of freedom anymore. Why? Because it's the two greatest commandments. He said the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you really want somebody judging you based upon you being you? I mean, if I judged everybody who's not me, I would judge everybody. Because I'm the only me. Why can't we just look at people and see what they're worth? Get to know someone. Love them for the talents that they have and love them in spite of the weaknesses that they have. And if they're sinners, Amos, like you and me, then we love them in spite of their sins and we try to pray for them and lift them above their sins, primarily by first pointing them to Christ to be not only my family, but to also then move from being a distant cousin to being my brother or my sister in Christ through salvation. Take them from my earthly family, which includes all of humanity, to my spiritual family, who are those who profess the name of Christ. I hope y'all read your Bibles the way I read my Bible. This makes a difference in the world. Guys, this will change how we talk to each other. Here. You don't know what God can do with our society if you grasp this now to make a difference. We all have different talents, different skills, different things that make us who we are. I got the hillbilly accent. Some of you don't. It kills me when people take off IQ points because they hear my accent. Believe me, I've lived in California. It happens. Really, what is the true central issue? Here's the true central issue. Is we actually have bought into the idea that we can be two type, one person two ways. dualism. I can be a Christian and hate my neighbor. James 2 says you can't be a Christian and hate your neighbor. Sorry. Or at least you can't be a righteous Christian. You cannot think you're right with God if you're arguing with other members of your school because they play a different sport. Or a different instrument. Or no instrument. Or no sport. The short guy on the basketball team doesn't deserve to be hazed. That doesn't happen here. I'm just throwing something out. And the tall person may not be the best basketball player. And you know what? The leading goal scorer on the soccer team deserves to be spoken to with respect the same as the person who's always there handing the water bottle to the players when they come off the field. Who's standing there learning the game. I'm not endorsing some kind of egalitarianism. We're all equal. I've heard Mr. Raw play instruments. We're not all equal. He's superior in that field. I'm okay with that. He's doing what God called him to do. And he's honoring God with it. And I'll go find what I can honor God with and be superior at it. And he will be just as worthy of dignity and respect as I am doing something else. Because God loves every last one of us. The Bible's very clear. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should be repentant to salvation. How can we, the followers of Christ, then make these distinctions? The answer is, we can't. The passage said, don't be prejudiced, show mercy. If we kept reading through verse 14, and this is kind of highlighting the where the passage is going to go and your next speaker next week is going to go, is it starts talking about mercy. And by verse 14, it says, we're supposed to have, it says, hey, if you judge without mercy, then you're going to be judged without mercy, but therefore have mercy. Here's the mercy. In connection to what I've talked about today, here's the mercy. Johnson, I think the absolute best of you. And I believe in all that you can be as God designed you to be. And as God reveals that, as you grow, as you mature, I will do my best to make sure that that's drawn out and developed in you so that you can fulfill God's will, bring God glory, and receive an immense reward in heaven. Because you are worthy of love and respect and God's mercy called salvation and all that that follows on from that. And Jordan, so are you. And Aaron, so are you. Grace, so are you. Brooke, so are you. I don't care what your grades are. I don't care what your talent is. I don't care what your skin tone is. I don't care if you're male or female. American, not. You are uniquely designed by God and worthy of love and respect. And every ounce of energy I have to improve you for the glory of God. And if I think anything less as the head of this school, then I'm in sin. According to James chapter 2. There's nobody here in this room that doesn't deserve that. From the oldest to the youngest, everybody here deserves that. Because that is fulfilling the royal law to love my neighbor as myself. Let's pray.